WBDGFM HD1, Indianapolis.
You're listening to Ben Davis Giants Football on WBDG, Indianapolis.
Hey, let's go! It's going to be fourth down, last play of the game, barring a penalty. It all comes down to this.
Open your action.
Victory will not be handed to you.
Tom Allen jumping up and down, getting everybody into it. One play.
Number one, Ben Davis Football is physical. Number one, Ben Davis Football is hit.
Who's going to go home?
Are you seniors? Will you let this be taken away from you?
No,
sir. No way.
You must go seize the
It's going to come down to the signal. Touchdown, Ben Davis! Touchdown, Ben Davis! The Giants win!
I am honored every day to put on something that says Ben Davis Football. I am honored.
When you hit the door, you're a Ben Davis Giant.
Good evening and welcome into McDonald's on West 10th Street for tonight's broadcast of Inside Ben Davis Football alongside Jeff Robinson from the Hendricks County Flyer, John Easton back in studio, and of course, head coach Simmons. I'm Grant Covey, your host for this evening. Last week, the Giants fell to the Center Grove Trojans 29-22 in rainy conditions on Friday night. The Giants are now 500 on the season at 2-2 and 1-1 in the mid-conference play. Coach, obviously conditions playing a role in the game Friday, but kind of helped you out. It didn't really rain until about midway through the third quarter. Significant rain, I guess I should say. But take us through the game and how the Giants ended up on the short end of the stick last Friday.
Yeah, I felt like, Grant, I felt like at times we played really well, you know, as a football team, and at times we didn't take care of the little things that are needed in big Mick games to have success. You look at our opening drive. You know, we put together a 17-play drive. We're getting ready to eat up half the first quarter. Have a false start down in our own end. We have a slant route go through our hands, and you know, all of a sudden we're looking at third and 14 and fourth and 14. And you know, we talked about a field goal on fourth down on that opening drive. We were on the fringe of Zach Fox's range. We were into the wind a little bit. You got a wet ball. A lot of variables there. So we elected to go for it. Didn't get it. Turn around, got a stop. You know, I felt like our kids responded well defensively. You know, so we started the game feeling pretty good. You know, put together another decent drive, getting stalled out again. You know, we had timely penalties, I felt like, that hurt us offensively, or some execution errors where we, you know, just had a ball go through our hands, or, we missed a block that led to a tackle for loss. So, you know, all those little things that happened in the mix. And, you know, when you pile those up or you stack those on back-to-back plays, it really sets you behind the chains. And so, offensively, I felt like we got behind the chains too many times, which kind of took us out of our rhythm. Defensively, I thought we got a lot of stops. You know, we had 5-3 and outs against Center Grove. If you get 5-3 and outs against Center Grove, you feel pretty good about yourself. But, you know, at times we would, you know, we're giving up a 15-yard run because we're lined up wrong. And then they come back to the same play, and we're still not lined up where we need to be, and our edge run support wasn't there. So, I mean, there were a lot of variables there. Just we have a lot to get cleaned up. Really on both sides of the ball, offensively, defensively, special teams wise. We got some good performances really from Darian Herbert, our long snapper, handled the elements well. Ty Nibbs at punter, I thought, did a really nice job. Zach Fox was pressed into kicking duties and was really solid. And Capone Powell did a great job in coverage. And so, you know, there were some bright spots on special teams, and offensively and defensively, we had bright spots. We just got to be consistent and put it together.
Coach, you look at Carson Steele's performance for Center Grove, 36 carries, really a workman effort for him. Talk about how that weather probably favored his ball game effort there in general.
Yeah, you know, he's a hard runner. You know, probably the thing that's most impressive about him is the first guy isn't going to get a clean shot at him all the time. You know, there are times you'll get him in space and you'll be able to bring him down one-on-one. When he's in traffic, he is a really good back in traffic. You know, he's elusive to the point that he can give you a dead arm or a dead leg and slide out of an arm tackle. He can, you know, he does a really good job keeping his feet alive and using contact to spin off of and to finish runs. And he's a physically tough back. And, you know, we knew all those things going into the game, and we knew we had to get hats to him. We didn't always do that. He was able to keep some runs alive even when we got penetration and dented the front. And then we would over pursue, and you know, he cut it back, and then, you know, that was one of his touchdown runs. You know, it was a 16-yard touchdown run that we dent the front side really well, get really good play from our defensive end. Our backside overruns it, and you know, he cuts back and walks into the end zone. So, you know, it's you know, he was a physically tough back Friday. You know, it's the nature of their offense. You know, if you're if you're going to go into a game with Center Grove and rain is, it, you know, could be an issue, or there's going to be a wet ball, you certainly look at it and say, well, it's not going to bother those guys much, and it certainly didn't do that on Friday.
Coach, I know you talked a little bit about not doing the small things maybe exactly like you wanted to. Of course, one of those things had to be the two very key turnovers in the second half. Obviously, one of them, both of them led to scores for Center Grove. Talk a little bit about how those turnovers really hurt the team.
Well, you know, when you look at when those turnovers came, they came after defensive stops. You know, we started the second half kicking off to Center Grove, got a three and out, felt really good about it. I felt like our defensive staff did a heck of a job at halftime making some subtle adjustments that they felt like could give us a boost going into the second half. And, you know, you come out and start the half with a three and out, you feel good about yourself from a defensive perspective. I thought we would be able to take advantage of it offensively a little bit, because I felt like we talked about some things as an offensive staff at halftime. Felt like we had a good beat on it. Just couldn't get in a rhythm, couldn't get going. Punted, got another three and out. So you now all of a sudden you're halfway through the third quarter and Center Grove hadn't gotten a first down. You're down one score still, and you feel pretty good about yourself, really. You know, and then we throw the first pick. They go down and score. We're down two scores. And then we come right back, throw another pick. And, you know, that was a huge dagger for us, really. And I felt like it took the wind out of our sails, to be honest. You know, I was worried about our guys, to be honest. I felt like, you know, the wind was out of our sails. Offensively, didn't have a lot of life, didn't have a lot of juice. Defensively, they were frustrated. You know, because, you know, you get two stops against a good offense, an explosive offense like Center Grove can be in the run game especially. And then, you know, you get put on two short fields, and it's easy to get frustrated. So our kids were frustrated. There's no doubt about that. Probably the most encouraging thing was the maturity that our kids showed. Once we got them, especially from a defensive perspective, once we got them to the sideline, got them calmed down a little bit and processed with them what just happened, they were able to collect their thoughts and get their focus back pretty quick. And it showed, you know, they competed and played their rear ends off the rest of the game. You know, after those two third quarter touchdowns, we didn't give up another score. And so, you know, from a defensive perspective, you know, you certainly got something to build on moving forward. From an offensive perspective, you got to get back to work and learn from your mistakes. And I feel like we're doing that. I feel like Trent was the first one on Saturday morning to walk in and say, hey, that one's on me. You know, and I think Trent would tell you right now, if you asked him, he didn't execute well enough. And you know, his focus and his practice habits have been a lot better. You know, I'd say his practice habits have been really good. He had a good week of practice last week. It's just, you know, we missed on two balls, and you know, those two balls certainly hurt us. You know, I told Trent and I told our offensive staff, those two interceptions didn't kill us. You know, we certainly had other opportunities offensively and defensively to make plays throughout the night. Just didn't get it done, and you know you can't give an offense like Center Grove two short fields and expect to hang on very often. But you know, I felt like the resiliency our kids showed in the second half, really late third all the way through the fourth, they did a heck of a job staying into it and battling.
We're here at McDonald's on West 10th Street for tonight's broadcast of Inside Ben Davis Football. Coach, you know, Center Grove got out ahead first. They're up 7-0. You go down the field and score. You go for two and you're up 8-7. How important was that to go up just one point, and how did that help your team in terms of morale and gives you some momentum, I guess I should say?
You know, really it was just kind of it was kind of a spur of the moment thing. You know, we felt like we put a heck of a drive together, had some juice, had some momentum, sent our PAT team out there, Center Grove jumped off sides, and you know, we sent our offense right back out because we feel like we can go line up and get a yard and a half when we need a yard and a half. You know, our offensive line executed really well. Delbert Mims in that wild giant formation for us did a really nice job. But, he's not alone. You know, when we run that formation out there, we got all three running backs on the field. We got Trez Cushenberry, we got Lajuan Hassel, and we got Delbert. So, you know, those three guys have a really good feel for each other. They have a good feel for our offensive line. It wasn't like we were trying to take the lead. And, you know, it wasn't intentional by any shape, you know, in any way, shape, or form. But we felt like 8-7, you know, it having been on the other side of chasing that point, We wanted to put the pressure on them to dictate to them when they had to chase the point, or at some point we wanted to put them in a position to have to chase that point. They did. They went and chased it after they got up two scores, and they were successful with it. So you certainly tip your hat to them. But you know, when you get into a game like that, having been on the other side of that 8-7, you know, that feeling of, man, we got to go get that point. Well, you roll the dice one time and don't get it. Now all of a sudden you're down two, and two can become three, it's just a tough, from a psyche standpoint, it's tough to determine as the opposing coach, when are you going to chase that point and try and get it back?
You mentioned that your team had some issues in terms of having a good rhythm offensively. How much of your game plan was impacted by the weather conditions on Friday night?
Yeah, I would like to tell you the weather doesn't impact what we do offensively, but, you know, in some way, shape, or form, it does. You know, when you're predicated on getting the ball in space, a wet ball at some point is going to have an impact on you. You could say it doesn't, and we will all love to say, hey, we're good enough that it doesn't. You know, we've practiced in the rain. We've done all those things, and I get that. I've probably practiced in the rain more with this group than I have any other group that I've been a head coach of. And so I knew our guys could handle a wet ball. I knew we could pitch it and catch it, but still a wet ball. And, you know, there were a couple balls that got through our hands. There were a couple balls we made nice plays on. And, you know, I can remember a backfield exchange between Trent and Delbert where Trent bobbled the snap because it was a little low. And Delbert's coming through the hole, juggling the ball, and then finally secures it right before contact. And all of those things can happen. You know, the weather was the same for both of us. I don't know that we got enough out of our run game on a night like that, but you know, I'm sure the weather had an impact a little bit, but it was the same for both of us, you know, and we just gotta learn to be a little bit more focused, be a little bit more crisp, and really dig in on concentrating that ball, you know, on catching that football when we have the opportunity to.
Coach, now this is the second time that we've seen the Giants get down a significant amount and then fight back. Talk a little bit about your team and their attitude and spirit. I know you talked a little bit about it, but can you expand on that just a little bit?
Yeah, you know, I think it's a huge testament to how far we've come since co-captains in July, to be honest with you, John. You know, I felt like we faced a lot of adversity during co-captains, had to really dig and work on developing who we were as a team, who our voice was going to be, who our leaders are. And you know, we struggled at times in July with those things. And, you know, I think some of that is, you know, quite honestly, a byproduct of losing the senior class that we lost. When you lose 52 seniors and you lose the influencers that those guys were, they were great kids. They obviously had a huge impact on that locker room. You know, you have a senior class now that doesn't really know where their voice is, you know. And so we had to battle with that a little bit in July. And when I say battle, it's just – we had to get them comfortable standing up in front of a group and commanding a group. We had to get them comfortable with each other because all of a sudden we had a bunch of guys that were listening to new people, and it was people they weren't used to listening to. So we had to talk to them about being good listeners. We had to talk to them about controlling themselves, you know, controlling themselves. And we had to talk to them about how to treat each other better, quite honestly. And so, you know, I think it speaks to the growth and the maturity that this group has made as the season has gone on and as they've gotten more experience. You know, the more time they spend with each other, the more comfortable they get around each other and the tighter we're becoming as a team. And I think it speaks to our coaching staff. You know, we have veteran coaches that have been in a lot of games. They've been up in games. They've been down in games. And, you know, our mantra has been every day that we've shown up, we're just going to go win today. We're going to go coach ball. We're going to go have fun with our kids. And we're going to get one day better. You know, we talk to our, you know, as a coaching staff, we talk amongst ourselves every Friday night before the game. And the one consistent theme that we have every week is we got to stay poised. You know, our players are going to be a reflection of us on the sideline, and we just got to keep coaching and keep playing. And so, you know, that's what we talk to our guys about, John. You know, we talk to them about that at Avon. We talked to him about it Friday night against Center Grove. We got to get a stop and a score. You get down 14, you got to get a stop and a score. You get a stop and a score to one possession game. Get down 21, still got to get a stop and a score. So if you're on the sideline with us on a Friday night, and you know, if you would have been down there Friday against Center Grove, you would have heard that. We got to get a stop and a score, stop and a score. And when we did that, you know, I think you saw a different football team. All of a sudden, you know, we put a touchdown drive together, cut it to one score game. Defense goes out and plays really well, and eventually we go get a stop. You know, we go and we hit Dalen, you know, on a 70-yard scramble play. And you know, all of a sudden, it's just a different group, and so we just got to keep emphasizing those things. Just go get a stop and a score. But you know, obviously, we don't want to be in that position every week. You get in that position every week in this conference, you're going to be in trouble.
You're listening to Inside Ben Davis Football from McDonald's on West 10th Street. We're going to take a break and come back, and we'll look ahead to Warren Central as the Giants will head out to the east side for the Circle City Showdown to face an undefeated Warren Central Warriors team. Back in 1 minute on the Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.
Seriously 24/7 is a supporter of this WBDG sports broadcast on Giant 90.9. Seriously 24/7 offers residential plumbing, drain cleaning, sewer repair and replacement, remodels, water softeners, and well repairs. Located in Brownsburg at 124 East Northfield Drive, suite number 256, Seriously 24/7 can be reached at 317-501-4964. Hours of operation are Seriously 24/7. WBGG thanks Seriously 24/7 for their support of the sports broadcast.
WBDG thanks Culver's for their support of this WBDG sports broadcast. Culver's has a selection of Butterburgers, fries, fish, and chicken. Culver's also offers a variety of soups, salads, kids' meals, desserts, and frozen custard. Culver's is located just off Rockville Road and can be reached at 463-202-2085 and on the web at culvers.com. WBDG thanks Culver's for their support of this WBDG sports broadcast.
Welcome back to Inside Ben Davis Football. We're at the McDonald's on West 10th Street for tonight's broadcast. You just heard the first segment where we reviewed the game and the loss against Center Grove, but now in the second half of our show, we like to look ahead to next week's opponent in Warren Central, and it doesn't get any easier from the Center Grove contest to head out and face Warren Central, a team who is undefeated and a team that went down to Louisville and beat Louisville Trinity in a comeback victory by 1 point. But, Coach, when you look at Warren Central, they've dominated their last two opponents heading into this week. So what do you have to make sure that you can contain and control on that Warren Central team?
Well, I tell you what we have to do. You know, we have to identify people. You know, when you start with Warren Central, you can look at their defense. And as much as people talk about the three-headed monster they have offensively, you look at their defense, and their defense is really the emotional straw for them. They have an active defensive line. They have an active second level. Their secondary is very solid. And so, you know, when you look at them, you have to make sure that you can identify people. You know, they have some tells that we've been able to at least try and get a handle on, you know, through film study. So you got to identify who's where, and what impact that's going to have on the play call for them, whether it's offensively or whether it's defensively. We have to work to control the offensive line of scrimmage and try and get Delbert going in the run game. You know, the best way to neutralize Romeo Elliott and David Bell is to work to keep them off the field as much as possible. And so for us, you know, we have to get the offensive line going, and we have to feel comfortable blocking their movement. They're an active group. They're a physical group up front. They had success against Trinity at times. They certainly have had success against North Central and Lawrence Central the last 2 weeks getting into Mick play. So, you know, they're an active physical group defensively. Offensively, it's easy to talk about the three-headed monster. You got David Bell on the perimeter, a wide receiver. You got Romeo Elliott at tailback, and you got Jaden George at quarterback. And those three guys have put up some huge numbers through the first four games. You know, they certainly Romeo, you know, had a Mick. We were talking about it right before we went on air. Had a record-setting performance with a Mick rushing record last Friday against LC. He's a back that's not talked about enough. You know, a lot of people look at his stature and they just say, well, you know, he's this or he's that. Well, here's what he is. He's a very good running back. He's elusive. When he needs to be elusive, he can go finish runs when he needs to go finish runs. He does a very good job keeping himself alive. You know, at times their offensive line's been dented. And quite honestly, he uses his size to his advantage because he's hard to find at times behind their big offensive line. But, you know, their offensive line can get dented. Instead of giving himself up, he just stays patient. Then all of a sudden he gets out the other side and, you know, he takes what could be a 3-yard loss and turns it into an 8-yard gain. Now it's second and two. He does a good job in pass protection. He catches the ball out of the backfield really well. When you look at David Bell, they move him around in a lot of different spots. They're very creative in finding ways to get him the ball. And Jaden George is probably as hot a quarterback as there is in the state of Indiana when you look right now. He throws the ball outside the hash marks really, really well. He can push the ball downfield as well as any quarterback I've seen on film this year. And you know, he's been really solid in the quick game too. And so he doesn't have a lot of flaws right now. And so, you know, for us, we have to stay disciplined, and we have to identify people and find out, you know, where people are. And I think the hard part about defending an offense like this, and you can take it back to a year ago and you look at what people tried to do against us, or that 2017 version of Ben Davis, and you know, you had Johnny Adams, you had Reese Taylor, you had Brock Thompson, and quite honestly, you had Jermaine, and you had Keshawn Tunstall too. But you know, if you took, you know, we took Brock, you took Johnny, and you took Reese, and you tried to defend those three guys, it's hard to take all three of them away at the same time. And so, you know, that's kind of the battle that we're in right now as a staff, is trying to figure out a way to neutralize the parts that we feel like we need to neutralize. And, you know, and for us, you know, you got to keep the ball in front of us. And so obviously you got to have a plan to do that when you're defending David Bell and the other wide receivers they have. You know, the goods kid that they have at wide receiver is explosive. He's gotten behind everybody they've played. And he's hit a deep ball on just about everybody they've played. And so you got to pay attention to that. So it's, you know, it was a weekend with not a lot of sleep, quite honestly. You know, you're up watching film, you're up trying to find that missing link, and then, you know, obviously trying to put our kids in the best possible position to be successful on Friday.
Coach, personally, I've always been a fan of watching a lot of Jason West teams out on the football field, especially how exciting and multifaceted they can be offensively. Talk about the impact that Coach West throws in from the sidelines.
You know, when you look at their coaching staff, obviously they're good people. You know, I've had the honor of knowing Jason for a long time now, and there's not a better guy, in the coaching circles. He's a first class person. He loves his kids. You know, he'll do anything for his kids, and you know he wants to showcase his kids, and he's not bashful about it. I think we're all that way. You know, we want to put our kids in the best possible position to be successful. Their offensive staff has been really creative in doing that. When you look at all the different places that David's lined up, you look at all the different things that they do with Romier in the offense, and you look at the positions they put Jaden in, you know, they're doing a really good job of maximizing their player strengths, which makes it a pain to defend. And so, you know, that's you have to have a true understanding of where people are, because it's not really it's easy to talk about those three guys, but you also often we have to get our players to understand the impact of where those guys are, and then what does that do for the other players in the formation as well. So it's not just those three guys, but it certainly starts with those three guys for us.
When you are really getting ready to duel with a coach that you know is going to be very good at game planning on the other side, what kind of extra challenge does that bring to you?
Well, I think what it does is it forces us to get outside the box and not look at what they've done, but what they could do. You know, and I think that's where you get the next level coaching, and I think you see that coaching a lot in this conference. People from week to week are going to do what they do. They're going to have their core base runs. They're going to have their core base passing concepts. But then what would they do? And that's where we spend a lot of time as a defensive staff. Okay, if I'm attacking what we've shown on film, this is what I'm going to do. And so we have to build that into our practice script too, so we can stress our players. We can put our players in difficult circumstances on Friday. You know, because the thing we've talked about with our guys this week is you're going to face adversity on Friday. And when you face that adversity, you're going to go back to the level of your training. And so are we training at a high enough level where we can still achieve success when that adversity hits on Friday? You know, when you travel to Warren Central and you play at Warren Central, it's probably as tough a place to play as there is in this conference. We're going to face adversity. They're a good football team. They're an undefeated football team. They're the number one team in 6A. It's a tough place to play. You put all those factors together, we're going to face adversity. And so is our level of training, is that going to put us at a good enough spot that we can still have success despite facing adversity? And that's where we have to get to, and that's where we have to work to finish the week this week.
Hey, Coach, you know, as you look at this Warren team, they come in here very similar to a team that the Giants fans saw play a lot last year. Now, certainly there are lots of differences, but a lot of people may forget how close this Warren team was to knocking off Ben Davis in the sectional here last year. After losing pretty handily in the regular season, they came back. It was a great game. Reese Taylor kind of iced it with a long run at the finish. But how does this Warren team maybe match up with the 2017 Giants?
I think they're comparable. When you look at it, you have senior playmakers. You have a senior playmaker at quarterback. You have a senior playmaker at wide receiver. You have a senior playmaker at tailback. There's some hidden pieces on this offense that probably don't get as much attention because of what David and Romero have done. The Goods kid at wide receiver, Montrezl Stanley at tight end, both of those guys can hurt you and make plays. I think defensively they're probably pretty comparable. I don't know that they have the star power of a Keelan Laws or a Jalen or Jonte Dobson, Elijah Ball, you know, those three guys, or a Willie Irvin even. But they certainly have some playmakers. They're a very talented group. And in the, you know, when you look at the 2017 Ben Davis team, John, I liken it really to the 2006 Warren team. Those are somewhat generational type teams. Like, you don't see those teams every year, you know. And I think this group is really comparable, to be honest with you, from Warren. And so, you know, we certainly know we're going to have our hands full getting on the bus and handling the bus trip over. But, you know, I think if you ask our kids to a man, and you've been fortunate enough to see him in the hallway, John, I think our guys are eager for this opportunity.
Coach, when you look at this team, it's going to be a game where, it's going to come down to the team that does the most things right. But how do you make sure you do all the little things right that leads to doing and ending up on the right side of the scoreboard on Friday night?
Well, we have to start getting it done, snap in and snap out in practice. You know, we emphasize talking about the little things all the time. I'll give you an example, Grant. We gave up 25 yards last week in defensive offsides penalties. Four of those we lined up in the neutral zone. That's inexcusable. And that's on us as a coaching staff. Obviously, our guys were programmed to be, and we want them crowding the football. There's no question about that. But to give up two and a half first downs to a group like Center Grove, they didn't need any help from us getting first downs. So we have to take care of those little things in practice first. And we've done a better job of that through 2 days. We got to continue to finish the week that way. And that goes back to the level of training. If we can train in a really high level with discipline when we face adversity, we're certainly going to be able to take that on Friday when we get back to our level of training.
Coach, if Ben Davis and Warren Central doesn't ring a bell in anybody's ear when you say it, and it really shouldn't need any talking up, but, the crowd came out Friday night. Really, it was kind of a matter of who had to be there to watch their kids play. But how do you get the fans out to make the trip over to Warren Central? It's a big rivalry. It's a Circle City showdown. And everybody wants to beat the team that hasn't been beaten. And Ben Davis was that team last year. So how do you go into Warren Central? And what's your message to the fans?
You know, for us, we just want Purple Rain. We want the West Side to travel with us. We're going into a tough place to play for sure. We're going to go represent the West Side of Indianapolis to the best of our abilities. Our kids are going to compete and play hard. They've shown that through four games. And we're going to throw everything at them that we have. And we're going to do it with a great deal of pride in who we represent. We're going to do a great deal of pride in the West Side of Indianapolis. We certainly understand it's Circle City Showcase, and we want to go show off the West Side Friday.
All right. This has been Inside Ben Davis Football. We're broadcast tonight from McDonald's on West 10th Street. Thanks to Coach Simmons for joining the show again this week, and a special thanks to Marcy Royalty for her support of this sports broadcast. The Ben Davis Giants travel to Warren Central this Friday for the Circle City Showdown. Coverage starts at 6 p.m. on WBDG. Kickoff at 7 p.m. So make sure you tune in on Friday night. Thanks to everyone who contributed to the show. For Jeff Robinson, John Easter, and Coach Simmons, I'm Grant Covey. Have a great evening.
Been a presentation of the Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.